in order to understand who God is, we gotta figure out a few things. The first time, yes, last week we talked about how big God was. If we want to know who God really is, we gotta discover how big God is, right? And so hopefully last week we kind of got a little glimpse of how big God is, not a full glimpse because we can't even imagine how big God is. Okay, but hopefully we kind of took some of the limits out of our minds on how we make God really small, or at least our perception of God is really small. And so today we ask a second question. And this question is really important to ask if you want to get to know who God is. And that question is God really good? I'm sure most of us have heard that question before. Some of you guys may never have thought about it. Is God really good? But the reason why we're tackling this question is because if we don't know how good God is, if we don't believe that God is good, some things happen in our life. First of all, if we don't believe that God is good, we won't trust Him with our life. You guys catch that? If we don't believe that God is good, we're not going to trust Him with our life. You don't trust anybody when you know they're not good, right? If somebody is a con man, do you trust that person? No. You'd be crazy to trust them. If you know that somebody is shifty, are you going to trust them with something important? No. If you know that somebody can't be trusted to be good all the time, are you going to trust them with something as important as your life? I don't think so. So that's why we're going to tackle this question. Is God really good? See, here's the problem. Is that even though most of us would say we believe that God's good, most of us, I'm not saying all of us would say that, even though we may believe that, when it comes to trusting God, suddenly we're in a whole new ballgame. It's an entire another story. You know, we say we believe that God's good, but when bad stuff happens in our life, or we're asking God for stuff, somehow we don't trust that He's going to come through. I'm going to read to you from Psalms 34. This is what David says, King David. He was a king who lived a long time ago, and he really liked God a lot. And God actually liked David a lot, just like He likes us a lot. But he's referred to as a man after God's own heart. So this is what King David said. He said, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him, get this, guys. This is what we're trying to do here at Ignite, okay? Those who look to Him are radiant. What does radiant mean? If something's radiant, what is it? Shining. It's bright. It's awesome. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. And this is our key verse for today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in Him. All right, so that's our passage today. This is one of my favorite passages, and I love it for a lot of reasons, but especially for that verse 8. David in the psalm is saying, okay, guys, here it is. This is God. He helps us when we're in trouble. He's always there for us, no matter what's happening. So here's my challenge. Taste and see that God is good. So who's God? Is He really good? That's the question. So I just want to go through a couple of things that sometimes we think about God. First of all, I think that we often, especially as young people, and the reason why I know this is a misconception of who God is because I fell into this huge. I thought God was this big cosmic killjoy. You know, basically He was there to make a bunch of rules and to kind of ruin my fun. And church stuff and, you know, youth group was okay if we played enough games. You know, all this stuff, it was all right. But in the end, I just felt like God was this big killjoy, cosmic killjoy, that every time that I really wanted to do something fun, it was like, oh, I'm not allowed to do that. Right? That's one of the perceptions. You guys know what a perception is? How about this? That's one of the ideas that we think about who God is, okay? We think he's this big killjoy trying to wreck our fun. And you may not actually say that, but a lot of times, okay, let's do a poll here. How many of you guys have kind of thought about God at this way at some point in your life? Like, God's just trying to wreck my fun, yeah? We have half the people are honest. Some of you guys may not have even thought about God wrecking your fun yet. But you will. Yeah, God will wreck your fun. He's a killjoy, no? But seriously, this is one of the misconceptions that I had as God growing up. And you know what? This totally messes with your ability to see God as good. Because if God's up there just trying to wreck your fun and make all these rules that you have to live by, then, you know, that's, how is that good, right? If God's just trying to mess your life up and so that you can't do what you want to do, how is that good? Here's the other misconception I think we have. We see God as a policeman, all right? And not like good cop. Well, yeah, kind of like good cop, bad cop. You know, he's good to us, and then all of a sudden he switches on us and he's bad to us. And so basically we see God as, you know, he's watching us, and he's just waiting for us to screw up. And when we screw up, bam! There we go. That woke everybody up. He nails us. You know, kind of like the cop catching you speeding. Boom, you're like, oh no, I got a speed ticket. I just had one a couple of months ago. It was terrible. It wasn't my fault, I swear. My foot was really, I had a cramp in my foot, and it was, no, I'm just kidding. No, he wasn't a ghost. He was real. All right, so sometimes we see God as this, and we think that God is more concerned with my mistakes and the stuff I do wrong than he is with me as a person. And I got to tell you, this is another biggie. This is one of those things that when we're thinking of God, that he's always ready for us to make mistakes, that it totally messes up our ability to see God as good. So I want you guys to think about those two things. Those are the only two misconceptions we're going to talk about today. Those are two biggies. And if that is one of your views of God, if you think he's up there ready for you to make a mistake, or if you think he's up there just up there to wreck your fun, then let's kind of climb down from those things and let's try to get a new view of God. Because, like I said before, if you can't start with believing that God is good, you're not going to get to know him. Okay? All right, so in Mark chapter 10, this rich young ruler, it's called, comes up to Jesus. And he's got some questions for Jesus. And his main question is this. This is what he says. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he said, "what can I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Isn't it interesting that when this young guy came up to God, up to Jesus, and said, "Good teacher," Jesus' first response wasn't, "Okay, this is how you have eternal life." The first thing he said is that no one is good. Okay, let's just do a little question here. How many of you know good people? Like really good people? Yeah? Anybody? Okay, let's get one person here. Cody, who's a really good person? He's really humble too. Okay, let's try another one. Who else knows who's a good person? Mrs. Newman. There you go. She's a good person. Is she? Yeah. Because she feeds us. Back there. Your mom. Mom's a good person. Yeah, okay. Okay. How about this? Would you guys say that Billy Graham, you guys know who Billy Graham is? Would you say he's a good person? You know, he does a lot of stuff for people. You know, travels the world, tries to give people the message of Jesus. How about Mother Teresa? You guys know who Mother Teresa was? She was... What's that? Oh, I guess. Okay. Some of you guys don't know who Mother Teresa was? She was a Catholic nun who gave herself completely to helping poor people. Now, she died... What, in the late 90s? But she invested her whole life. She was this old lady. If you want to go online, you Type in Mother Teresa, and you'll find pictures and stuff that she did. It's incredible what this lady did. Would you guys call her good? Okay. What's that? Yeah, she worked with lepers. That was her main thing. But she worked with all sorts of poor people, yeah. What's that?
Chet Kennedy,
yeah. Okay, how do you guys weigh this? Now, all of us know good people, but what did Jesus mean when he said no one is good? How does that work? He said no one is good. All right. Mistakes. We do stuff we shouldn't do. Yeah, Roberto. Nobody's perfect. No one ever will be. Well, that's not completely true. Okay, let's move here. It's interesting that Jesus said that, because would you call Jesus good? Yeah? Yeah, he was good, wasn't he? So, but let's focus in on this one statement. He said, nobody is good but God. Jesus right here is setting the standard of what good is. Okay? It's not that we can't be good. What he's referring to is that there is nobody who is all good except God. See, all of us sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. We all sin against God. We sin against people. We're full of wickedness. That's why none of us is good. In fact, you want to go and find out what the prophet Isaiah says. Well, you can find it actually in Romans. Paul quotes him in Romans. Romans chapter 3. Read Romans chapter 3. It says that no one is good. Nobody seeks God. We've all gone astray. It's really interesting. So Jesus is setting the standard of good. And he's saying, okay, here it goes. God is the only one who's all good. Okay? This is really right at the base of understanding who God is. If God is not all good, if you think God has negative energy, or if you think God has badness in him, if you think that there's some evil parts to God, if you think he has even a dark side, do you know the Bible calls God light? And that darkness can't dwell where God is because he is light. So if you believe that there's a bad side to God, you don't know, you're missing out. You won't be able to get to know who God is. Because here it is in a nutshell. God, either he's all good, or he's like us. Okay? Because we can be good, but we can be bad. We are good, and we are bad at the same time. God can't be like that. He's not a human. He's not a man that's good sometimes and bad sometimes. God is all good. And that's right at the very basis of this whole idea of God's goodness. He's got to be all good. Otherwise, he's just like us. And then he's not all good. Okay, we're going to see a clip here. And we're going to answer this question. And then we're going to go to our small groups. The question is, if God is all good, why do so many bad things happen in the world? All right, is the clip ready? Let's give her. Oh, I got to cue up the clip, sorry. Okay, in this clip, Bruce Almighty has his girlfriend caught him cheating on her. And, he complained, like, just like he always, it wasn't my fault, she was kissing me, blah, 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 whatever, doesn't matter. She caught him, and he's trying to get her back. So he goes to her school and tries to get her back. And it's just a minute, the clip is only a minute long today, so let's just focus really quick. This is kind of at the end of the conversation, and just after losing his girlfriend Grace, God kind of met with him, and he's like, how do you make someone love you? And God says, you can't. Okay, that's just in the movie. That's not in the Bible. All right, so let's hit the clip here.
Grace, please, none of this seems right without you.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Wait! How do you feel now?
Have you completely lost your mind? What, are you drunk?
Yeah, I'm drunk. Drunk with power. Love me.
Love me. Love me. Love me!
I did.
Yeah, I know. Free will.
We'll be referring to this clip in a second. First of all, let's go back to the question. If God is all good, why do so many bad things happen? Have you guys ever asked this question? I've asked this question so many times. I still ask it. I still have a hard time with it. I still struggle with it. But at the root of this whole thing, I do need to ask this question. I need to struggle with it. Because I need to believe that God is all good. I can't believe that He's not all good, that some of Him is bad. Because that affects the rest of how I think about God. That affects who God is. I can't get to know God by my own version of who God is. I have to get to know Him by who He really is. All right, so let's go back. Way back to the garden. See, the Bible says that God created us in His own image. And we could talk for weeks on the image, being created in the image of God. But let's focus in on this one aspect that we just saw. God created in man the capacity to love. Okay? That reflects or is part of how we bear God's image. Is that we have the ability to choose to love people. To choose to love God. Okay? Had God made us without the ability to choose to love someone, or choose to love Him, would it be love then? Can you force someone to love you? Why not? Yeah. The major step in love is that there has to be a choice there. Nobody can force you into loving them, because is it love then? No, of course not. So when God created us, in order for us to reflect His image of the ability to choose to love, He also had to create in us the ability to choose not to love. You guys following me here? Okay, we need someone to sit up with these boys here. Not on them, Wade. In between them will be fine. All right, we're almost done. We got 5 minutes left here, guys. Not even. Okay. I'm not going to answer this question so that you guys will be satisfied for life. Because this is a question you all struggle through all the time. Last year, and I think I told this when it happened, I really struggled with this. There was a story in the news of two little girls that were left out in minus 40 degree weather. They were the exact same age as my kids. And they froze to death because their dad was drunk. And wandered out, and the little girl was in a diaper. Okay? This kind of thing, it shakes the very core of my belief in that God is good. Because I had to question God on that one. I'm like, it really hurt. I couldn't even watch it. Because I'm sitting there going, how can this be? God, how can you be good and let this happen to those little girls? They didn't know. How can you let that happen? How can you be good and let terrible things happen like that? It shook me to the core. See, let's go back to choice. God gave us the choice to love. Because if He didn't, then we couldn't love. If we couldn't have the choice not to love God, then we wouldn't be able to actually love Him. Right? We have to choose that. The same thing goes with sin. Right? We choose to sin. And all of us have sinned. And here's the deal. Why do bad things happen? Well, you know what? Along with this choice come consequences. This is built into life. When we choose something, there's always a consequence to it. Okay? If we choose to invest in the stock market right now, the consequence is you're probably going to lose a little money. If you choose to help somebody, you know, the consequences are probably going to be pretty good. Help somebody out. You know, you feel good. It's like, yeah, I helped somebody. I did, you know, I feel like I did what I was supposed to do. You can also choose to do something bad. And often there's consequences to that. If you choose to murder somebody, let's go to the extreme. If you choose to murder somebody, what are the consequences? More than likely jail, unless you're O.J. Simpson and can afford a really good lawyer. Right? Yeah, you guys don't even know who O.J. is. Okay? So here's the deal. Was it God's fault that those little girls died in the cold? Whose fault? Because God gave us the ability to choose, because it's so important that we actually are able to love God back. Because He loves us so much. He wants us to love Him back. And we know in the clip, remember Bruce, he's sitting there going like this, love me, love me. You know, God, that's not like God. God doesn't do that. But God wants us very deeply, more than you can ever imagine, for us to love Him, because He loves us so much. But we got to choose to do it. So why do bad things happen? Because of this ability for us to choose and the consequences. The consequences of that dad getting drunk and taking his little girls outside was their death. It's not always the consequences that, not all the consequences are just your own, right? When we do bad things, other people sometimes are hurt. You know, rape is like the hugest one, right? The person who was abused doesn't deserve it. They didn't do anything to deserve that. And yet they are hurt, they're crushed. Because of somebody else's sinful choice, they have to suffer the consequences of somebody else's choice. See, God loves us so much that He wants to give us that choice to do the right thing. To love Him. To obey Him. To follow the way that He's given us to live. Because He promises us that that's life. He created life. He knows how to live it. That's what He wants for us. And the consequences go far beyond that into eternity. The consequences of following Jesus and trying to live the life that He's asked us to live, the consequence is heaven. The consequence is good. We get to go and be with God. We get to go with be with our Creator. And we don't even know how good that is, because we can't even imagine how good God actually is. And there's also consequences to us deciding not to follow Jesus, to reject and saying, I don't want to know who God is. Forget God. There's also consequences to that. And it's eternity without God in torment and pain. We don't want to do that. That's the consequence. That's what God gave us. He gave us that choice. That's why with this great ability to choose to love, this great ability to choose to follow God, also comes with this amazing and terrible ability to choose against God, to choose to sin, to choose to hurt other people. So that answers a small portion of that question. I got lots more that we can go through. If God is good, why do so many bad things happen? You know, we can talk about natural disasters. We can talk about all sorts of stuff. So we just kind of, the tip of the iceberg here tonight. So here's the final question that you guys are going to be dealing with in your small groups. If God is so good, why doesn't He give me what I want? Okay? That is the theme for your discussion, the main question. So guys, like we read earlier, I'm challenging you tonight, taste and see that God is good. Not just a little bit good, that He is all good. Give God a chance to flood into your life. Remember, He's all good. He's not part good. He's not part bad. He's not part negative, part positive. He's not this energy in the sky. And we're going to actually go into that in our next talk. He wants what's best for you. And He loves you so much that He wants to be in a relationship with you. He's not the killjoy looking to wreck all your fun. He wants to give you life.